Number.
I don't know.
We should celebrate when we get to 10.
Okay.
Unless this is 10.
I probably should check that. I think it's 9.
Oh. Anyway, hello, listener.
Yes, it's 9. Yeah, hello.
Hi, this is Cryptid Addicted.
Sure is.
The podcast where we discuss cryptozoology.
Yeah, which is the search and study for animals whose existence or survival is disputed or unsubstantiated.
That's right. So, bogus creatures like Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot.
Not bogus.
Those sorts of things.
No.
Megan is a sometimes believer.
Always believer.
Always believer in these things. And I am a frequent skeptic of many, if not all.
That's
of
them. Not exactly true. Your track record is actually erring on more being believing.
Possibly. I do slightly worse than Megan. The believing. And yeah, we are here to sift through evidence about a particular cryptid. I don't know which one, but Megan does.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, decide what we think about it.
Yeah, but first we'd like to start off with a cryptid that was once believed to be mythical and not existing and then got sort of proven to be a real deal animal.
That's right.
So this one is Hogzilla.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, so for a long time there was rumors about giant beasts that lived in the woods around the USA. People describe encounters with monsters like monstrous wild boars that were reminiscent of the boar god in the anime Princess Mononoke.
Oh, Mononoke.
Oh, sorry.
Come on, Megan, get it together. And his name is, what is his name?
I don't know.
The boar god, he has a name. Oh, I'm sorry, listeners.
You're just shouting it at us.
Oh, God, oh, this is so embarrassing. And I like pulled you up with your mispronunciation as well. Nago, the boar god,
yeah.
Yes.
You know that Princess Mononoke is based on the Japanese island Yakushima?
No.
Which is where I'm going!
Ah!
Yeah.
Wait, is this the...
It's like an island off Kagoshima, so like down south.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not very big, it's like foresty as fuck. And there's some nice beaches, and I think like the illustrator went there and was like, this is the world I want to set Princess Mononoke in.
Lovely.
I know. I'll send pictures, don't worry, guys. Okay, cool. So anyway, back to Hogzilla. So they describe these animals closer to the size of a bear than a pig. People thought they were crazy. But then, in Alapaha, Georgia.
Seems like it.
Alapaha. Sorry, Georgia, U.S.
Trying to say an American accent. Alapaha or something.
Oh, yeah, that's all right.
Is that right?
Yeah, also on June 17th, 2004, a man by the name of Chris Griffin stumbled across a beast
Chris
in the
Griffin.
Woods. Yeah.
As in from Family Guy? Chris,
yes.
Chris Griffin? Okay.
Yeah.
Chris Griffin, yeah.
All right, he's believable. I thought you were picking up on his name because a griffin is also a cryptid.
No.
Our minds go elsewhere. So, yeah, he stumbled across this huge thing, not believing its sheer size. He basically aimed and fired at the
pole. Oh, no. So and he killed it, and now we have a carcass.
Yes, stop looking.
Wow, sorry. When was this? 2004.
2004. It proved once and all that these fucking huge pigs existed and roamed the USA.
I said, how big are they, actually?
So he had to use excavating equipment to hoist it up to get, like, a trophy shot, and it measured 12 feet long, which is 3.7 meters.
Wow.
And weighed over 450 kilograms, which is about 1,000 pounds.
My God.
Well, that's what he said, anyway. He said it had tusks that measured nearly 28 inches, 71 centimeters long.
That's not, like, meter-long tusk.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy crap. All right.
Yeah, so this is the...
Is there a photo?
Yeah, this is. It's not a very good photo.
I was expecting Naga the poor god. I'm sorry.
Well, people saw that and thought maybe it was a bit of trick photography because he's like kind of standing behind it, or maybe he was just photoshopped or something. But then, in early 2005, the National Geographic Channel did a documentary on the creature called Hogzilla. I actually wanted to watch that, and I didn't get time. Apparently, they exhumed the remains of the animal for scientists scientific testing by forensic scientists, including a pig geneticist, a wildlife ecologist, and a pig behavioral specialist. Very serious. So in March, the scientists claimed that the hog was actually 360 kilograms, 800 pounds, and around 8.6 feet long. 2.6.
So he overestimated it by a meter and a half.
Yeah, but maybe it rotted down a bit.
But by a meter and a half? Like.
Yes.
I must have had just like a huge sack of fat hanging off its skeleton.
That's what pigs do, right? It still was considered like super big compared to boars and pigs. And also the DNA testing showed that it was actually a hybrid between a wild boar and a domestic Hampshire breed pig.
Okay, so, also, so a wild boar had sex with like a prize pig.
Yeah. I'll put these photos up on Facebook as well, so click along with us.
Wait, so this is not a species. This is just one...
hybrid.
One hybrid produced by like an interspecies orgy.
Yes.
a pig orgy.
We stopped. And then in 2007, a man in Georgia in USA, again, killed an even bigger hog that was so large that he had to pick it up and shift it with the front part of his truck, clawy things.
Mm-hmm.
The pig weighed 1,100 pounds, apparently 500 kilograms. Oh. And this is actually like...
Oh my God. Okay, this is huge. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a big one.
Look at its things.
Oh God, its testicles. They're all like dry and crackly.
Anyway, I don't think that's trick photography either. That's
right.
But yeah, even though these guys died, I have some good news for you because these giant, mortifying, horrifying...
Wait, was the second thing also a weird hybrid? Like,
they don't know.
Product of
don't know.
Interspecies sex.
They don't know.
Right. Okay, sorry. Carry on. What's the good news?
Good news is that these massive pigs are still spotted to, like, even this year, 2018. Wow. In fact, one was spotted outside of the USA. There's stories that come from WA in Australia. And recently, in Feb this year, there was a massive boar filmed raiding a rubbish tip in Hong Kong.
What?
Hong Kong. And its mates, like...
Hong Kong doesn't have that sort of shit. Hong Kong's, like, urban. Did some, like, billionaire buy, like, a massive hog and have it, like, imported through the black market?
Very maybe. It's, like, surrounded by its mates, and it's, like, on its dainty little back legs.
Oh, my God! Oh, it's so big. Oh, it's so much bigger than the other ones.
Got a cool mohawk going on.
Yeah, it does. It's definitely the alpha, that badass pig.
Look at his little legs!
Oh, man.
Looks like he's wearing little heels.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Anyway, proven.
Proven. All right.
Cool.
Not... Are not all cryptids are bullshit. Okay.
Correct.
Excellent.
Alright. So today
yes.
I want to talk to you about the manga.
The manga.
Mbanga.
I love the manga. The Mbanga. Okay.
Mbanga.
So like MB?
MBENGA.
Mbanga.
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 Okay, cool.
This is a beast. This is a beast that swims around the River Congo Basin in Africa.
Ooh, this is the most exciting location to date, I would say.
Oh.
I think. Conga's kind of heart of darkness. That sort of stuff. All right, cool, Conga.
So the Congo River is a massive river that is second in flow and area only to the Amazon River.
Okay. Didn't know that. Yeah. All
right. Specifically, this creature's favorite terrain is the rough whitewater waters.
Whitewater waters.
And swells, which are fucking rough. That's a picture of it.
Oh, God. Yeah, this is some serious whitewater rafting. The photo we have, that man looks in peril.
Yeah.
I fear for him.
He's in a tiny little white kayak. Actually, it might be two people. I don't know. They're both crazy.
So, what is the creature?
The Mbanga is around the size of me, actually.
A threatening beast.
Thank you. Hey. It's around 5 to 6 feet tall or long. It's in the water, so let's imagine. I've already
like
confused
you. Lying
you.
Down. Yeah, okay, I get it.
Okay, so it's 5 to 6 feet long, 154-ish pounds, which is like 69 kilograms. 154-ish. Well, they come in different sizes, no doubt.
That's why the four?
I don't know, man.
That's so specific.
All right. Around like 69 kilograms, which is actually like much heavier than me, so big boy.
You're less than 69?
Yeah. Let's not discuss my weight on
the laptop. I'm a big boy. I'm like 76 or so. Yeah.
It's all that muscle.
Ooh, muscle.
Or gains.
Viewers who watched the video recently will know that's false.
Cool. So apparently the measurements of these creatures are equivalent of a super welterweight prize fighter. I just got this fact offline. That's
a bizarre fact.
I don't understand. Although it's not the... not... Okay. You put me off. That was really mean.
I have a chip. What, you get your shit together?
That was mean. You use your mean words. Alright.
Although... it's a pleasure to work with you. That's just...
Okay.
Oh, it's pretty good. Although it's not the largest
creature. No, just kidding. Okay. Alright. So, although they're not very big, these guys make up for their size with sheer aggression, power, and speed.
But what are they, though?
I'm telling you.
Fish-looking things?
I'm telling you. You just have to wait. The Mbenga is always lurking and listening for any unsuspecting victims who enter the water and splash about. Staying fully submerged in hiding, they have such good hearing that even the slightest disturbance on the water surface will draw them in to investigate. It is believed that they can sense your vibrations in the water. So when you do, if you decide to go swimming in the Congo Basin, you may have a few Mbenga.
This is the river we saw earlier that was like incredible churn.
Yes.
Like, they detect your slight vibrations when you step into this, right?
It gets calmer probably closer to the edges, and there's like smaller eddies and stuff. But so they believe that Mbenga come up and investigate you if you swim or paddle, but they may not choose to attack you.
I thought they were aggressive.
They are aggressive.
When they choose to be.
When they choose to be.
Right, okay.
Alright, so what does the creature look like? Your question 5 hours ago.
Woo.
The creature is described as long and streamlined with a powerful tail the colour of blood.
Blood. Yeah. Oh, excellent.
It has an olive-coloured back and a silvery underbelly, and all of its body is covered in like a chainmail-like rows of bony plates. Kind of looks like chain, like shiny chainmail.
Is it kind of eel-shaped?
Yeah, not really. No. I think that's too long. It has a slight humped back, but not like Nessie sort of thinking hump. It's just like a slight hump, apparently. And that's not seen above the water. The creature is too stealthy to like make that mistake.
Right.
It has a rudder-like protrusion from its sort of back underside bit that appears thin, soft, and pointed. Okay. And one of the most terrifying aspects of the beast is its face. Because it's mostly made up of eyes and teeth.
Oh, God. Has more than two eyes?
No.
Imagining a big ball of eyes.
No.
All right.
No. It has sort of a large elongated head that comes to like a rounded point. It's kind of like thin. And on either side of the head is like a huge penetrating eye. And the eyes are so far apart that you can only kind of ever see one eye at a time. Because they're kind of like...
Right. Because they're on other sides of the head.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
They're so like big that they give the Mbenga like super powerful sight, apparently. And even in murky waters, because this water is quite murky, because it's so churny, it's just like there's dirt and shit in it.
Hang on. Can I pause you for a second?
Sure.
Having big eyes doesn't make the water less murky.
No, I'm saying...
like either it's opaque or it's not, right?
Big
it's
eyes.
Not like you have huge eyes and see through walls and shit, right? Like, has it got x-ray vision?
I don't know.
So it's got massive eyes, a pointed head, lots of teeth.
Yes.
Silver underside, olive back.
Yes.
Blood red tail.
Yes.
And it's covered in bony plates.
Yeah, small ones.
Small bony plates.
And I'm going to tell you about the teeth. The most impressive feature.
Tell me about the teeth.
Whenever the Mbenga comes up, the teeth come up. That's right. Pretty much the main feature.
Right.
So they look kind of like daggers. The closer description that people say the teeth resembles those of a large crocodile, which I have a picture of.
Oh, a crocodile.
Crocodile teeth.
Right. Okay, cool.
Eyewitnesses of the Mbenga usually say that their teeth are sharper than crocodile's teeth, which are usually quite blunt, and each tooth is stated to be around an inch long.
Ooh. Yeah, okay, like shark teeth.
Yeah. And there's over like 30 of them. Into like a huge gaping mouth.
God.
Creature basically has no lips, so even when the mouth is closed or like nearly closed, see
all the teeth.
Yeah.
Oh.
When it attacks, it can open its mouth apparently to nearly 180 degree angle.
Oh, God.
Before slicing through its prey with surgical precision. When it snaps down, the teeth are said to interlock like a set of shears.
Cool.
Mm. So summing up the creature...
Or surgical precision if it's 180 degrees. It's like, ah! Damn it. But yes, okay, right.
My creative liberties. So summing up this creature, I have a quote.
Surgical precision as though with a set of shears.
That's what they use in surgeries, right? You need to do a slight incision.
As though with a scythe. Just like, shoo, shoo.
I go to a public hospital, all right?
Bulk billing doctors just waving a scythe around. Right.
Okay, so summing up the creature, I have a quote. They are, armed with the bone-crushing jaws as powerful as a hyena's, they are as secretive as a crocodile and as deadly as a great white shark, and have the bloodthirsty reputation of a piranha.
Wow. God, that's a good brag. That's like a Muhammad Ali style brag.
Yeah, it's a serious animal right here.
Look like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Cool.
Okay, cool. So folklore. So this is in Africa. There's some like really cool folklore around this. Okay. Folklore.
Politically correct, Patty. It's reporting for recording.
Can I keep that in? Alright. Folklore. Okay. So local legend says that Mbenga is one of the few creatures that has no fear of even crocodiles. They are rumored to fight with crocodiles, occasionally taking chunks out of a grown one and feasting off their young whole.
Oh, God.
Mm. If you see a crocodile struggling with something in the murky waters, it could be the work of that powerful beast, the Mbenga.
Right.
The Mbenga...
Or it could not be. Equally, because he can't see.
This is true. The Mbenga is also said to be a cannibal.
Cannibal.
Oh, ruined it.
A double cannibal.
Cannibal with a stutter. Cannibal.
All right.
Yes. So yeah, a cannibal.
Oh God, so these are really vicious creatures.
Yeah. Devouring one another.
How would you verify that? People, if you saw them like attacking each other, you just assume they're like fighting each other, right?
Unless they're eating each other.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's just stories passed down.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I reckon they are... they've got the look of a cannibal about them.
It is not known exactly why these beasts are so vicious or aggressive. They are thought to attack potentially out of instinct or maybe just for fun.
Probably out of instinct.
Yeah. These brutal attacks aren't always on small animals and rivers. No. Attack on the river! No, they aren't always on small animals. They can sometimes happen to human beings.
Yeah, that's it.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Local folklore believe that the Mbenga is a creature that is possessed by an evil spirit, which compels it to attack so vigorously and viciously and without any remorse.
Right.
Local stories are passed down amongst villages referencing the Mbenga are tied to themes of mutilation, human death, and even sorcery.
Wow. I like the without remorse thing, because fish are typically very remorseful creatures. Just, oh, no, I'm so sorry.
It might not be a fish. You keep saying fish.
I thought it was a fish. Well, it's an underwater thing. You said it's not an eel. So, like, what else could it be?
Nessie is not a fish.
No, but Nessie's like eel kind of, right?
Yeah.
Eely.
Maybe.
Okay.
The Mbenga is even been translated to English as some kind of demon.
Right.
So although many of these locals spend much of their life in and around the river, they're all too familiar with the cautionary tales of the Mbenga and accept that it is a risk every time they enter its domain.
Right.
These warning stories speak often of its ghastly and horrifying appearance, looking almost prehistoric, like a relic from the past. Prehistoric.
Is this your poetic writing?
No.
Me?
Maybe. This copy and pasted from someone else's.
Very flourish.
No!
No. Okay.
Stop hurting my feelings. I believe in the Mbenga.
Okay.
Of course, yeah.
How old is this folklore? Does it go back?
It doesn't say.
Oh.
It doesn't say. You'll find in this tale, I haven't got dates. I haven't got times.
Yeah, we're going to need sketches. But, okay.
Cool. So most tales of the Mbenga speak of it as a solitary wanderer and like a lone wolf that will soon eat another Mbenga if it comes across it, as opposed to like join forces with it. However, some claim that they've seen several at once gathering together to plot an attack and like causing a huge disturbance on the water's surface. It means there's, on some occasions, people believe that Mbenga will launch into a feeding frenzy together.
So the stories are all over the shop. Possibly lone wolves, possibly pack hunters. Maybe an eel, maybe a fish.
Okay, not lost us. They could be both. Not an eel! Fuck. Eels don't have crazy teeth, they're not huge and fat.
No, like, I don't know, like river monsters in movies and shit. They look like eely, but with. No?
That's bullshit.
Like, like Gyarados.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I want to find a Gyarados.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Its ferocity is described as a thing of nightmares. Sorry, I just had that line. And I wanted to add it in.
Alright, thank you for
adding. Okay. So, there's an understanding with the villagers that live around the Congo River Basin that if you live on the water...
Just a string of words. Congo River Basin. Monkey.
If you live on the water there and you use it every day, there are certain things that you must not do to enrage or entice the Mbenga.
Entice?
Ooh. It is believed that an Mbenga is ever listening and that sounds of splashing calls the creatures in from miles away.
Well, this should be an easy one to solve, right? Just go to the river, splash around a bit with a camera.
Let's do it.
Done.
Let's do it.
Yeah, fuck it. Japan, then Congo.
Yeah. Can we?
Congo's a bit rough. I don't know if I want to go to Congo.
It involves a lot of injections and as a needle phone.
Yeah, maybe not the place for you. But like, this would be easy to verify. Why is no one...
Oh yeah, well they have shit to do.
Like, you can take 5 minutes off to film the Mbenga?
They know it's sat there.
But do they know that we don't believe in it? Or that I don't believe in it?
I don't know. We're never going to solve this. Okay, where am I up to? Oh yeah, so about the splashing. There are stories passed down from people, bringing their babies to the shallows to cool off, and they've been taken by the Mbenga.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, stories.
Legit.
It's folklore. We're in the folklore section.
They're in the folklore section. Okay, cool. Go on.
Okay.
How terrible.
Too right. In this culture, very few things are labelled as an accident or like a chance occurrence. It is believed that if you are attacked or bitten by an Mbenga, it is because the spirit of a sorcerer made it attack you. So summoning an attack, for example, can be like triggered by someone putting a curse on you.
So if you get cursed, stay away from rivers.
Yeah.
And this river in particular.
Yes.
And then you're fine.
Yep.
Okay.
I guess. But they need to, like, the river is their life. Clean dishes.
Send a friend. Phone a friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, although many locals have never actually seen the Mbenga, they have great respect for it and a healthy fear of them. Most locals in the area have their own story of someone they know who's been attacked and claim it was by the Mbenga, and most people believe that Mbenga favours the arms or the legs of victims, as they're the body parts most likely to, like, dip in the water and tempt the beast.
Right.
Gripping
stuff.
Thanks.
Yeah.
If there has been a recent attack by an Mbenga, or locals just fear that they might be in the close vicinity to their village, they sometimes consult a witch doctor.
This is an incredibly reliable bunch of witnesses here. All right. And what does the witch doctor do?
The witch doctor... So they can ask for protection from the Mbenga, from the witch doctor, or sometimes the witch doctor can even communicate with other spirits...
Footnote, he definitely can't. But, like, okay.
He can talk to other spirits and somehow communicate with the Mbenga and be like, please protect me. It's like a good luck charm spell.
Mbenga, leave this dude alone. He's okay.
Yes.
He's not that bad.
Yes.
So it's a counter curse. But surely if the Mbenga's after them, they must have been cursed in the first place. So they're clearly not a good guy. Or maybe it's like some scoundrel sorcerer cursing people for no good reason.
No, okay. It's just like fear of it. If you saw it in the river or you heard your mate got attacked, you'd be like, hey, I'm just going to add some extra protection on it.
Mbenga insurance from Old Med Witch Doctor.
Yes.
All right. Okay, cool.
The shine of metals and other surfaces are believed to summon the Mbenga.
Right.
Items such as watches and bracelets should not be worn when out and about in the river. However, there is a kind of bracelet or anklet that can be crafted in these villages that serves as a protection device from the Mbanga and other evil spirits or evils in the Congo
River. And what's this protective device?
Oh, it's just like a trinket, but it's not shiny.
But a non-dull trinket, right?
Definitely, hopefully not shiny.
Okay.
It works somewhat like a good luck charm, but on one occasion, one documented occasion, this trinket did not bring good luck. It brought quite the opposite.
Because trinkets don't do anything.
They did something in this occasion.
That is like bullshit squared, right? Because the Mbenga's also made up. So this is like... Oh, wow. Anyway.
Alright. All right. So, sightings or attacks. Because all sightings are attacks.
Are attacks.
And I haven't got many, to be honest.
Okay. So is this first one the occasion where the trinket did not work?
Yes, indeed.
Alright.
So all around the Congo River Basin, legends and stories of the Mbenga bleed into physical attacks. Oh, that was very good.
Wow, that's... Bravo.
Thank you.
Killer segue. Ooh, killer.
Good girl, pass me again. As I mentioned before, if you speak to people that live on the river or around this river source, almost everyone knows someone who's been attacked by the Mbenga. The most famous and arguably brutal attacks happened to one of these villages. A little girl.
Oh, no.
Mm. Now, I haven't got a date.
Has it no shame or remorse?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
I said that. But I don't have a date, but I'm assuming it's probably like around 10 or 15 years ago.
Okay.
Don't hold me to that.
Particular is got that valid from the story?
I think I read something that was like a recent attack, and it was like 7 years ago. I don't actually know. So this young girl, who was, I think, around like 9 or 10, was in a quiet spot of the river. It was not known whether she was alone or with parents or others, but she basically entered the river alone, or the water alone. It wasn't really, it was like a quiet spot.
Oh god, despite the community's knowledge of the ferocious Mbengas that...
Yes. She's a kid. Playing around as kids do, she decided to cool off in the river. She disturbed the water as she entered around waist deep, softly singing to herself.
Oh god, this is like, it's too good to be true. It's like a Jaws scene or something. Whistling in the water, splashing around. Right.
Around her waist was a belt made by her parents that would help ward off evil spirits.
Oh, a shiny belt, presumably.
It was made of simple rope threaded with shiny bottle caps.
Oh, you fool. The Mbenga couldn't resist.
Ironically, the very gift. What?
Is enjoying the irony of this small girl's purported brutal death.
No one can see that I'm smiling except for you. Don't make it public knowledge. No, I'm not smiling.
Okay, ironically.
Ironically, the very gift from her mum and dad to protect her is what got the attention of the lurking Mbenga.
To protect her against the Mbenga or just spirits?
Yeah, evil spirits in general, but includes the Mbenga.
But you make it like shiny stuff. That's so dumb.
No, we can't be across... I've done lots of not research on the internet. People don't have this...
This is where it's from. They're like the world experts on Mbengas.
Oh, man.
Unacceptable.
Well, it's like you needing to know how to warn off a yaoi. You wouldn't know. You live in Australia.
That's because they're made up. We're pretending for the purposes of this that the Mbenga is real, right? Anyway.
Both of them are real.
So her Mbenga defense protocol was way off. She was wearing shiny shit around her waist and splashing around and singing and alone and in the river, which just I would stay away from. Especially if you don't need to be there. She was playing. Anyway, okay, so what happens to the poor girl?
Okay. So in an instance, the Mbenga launches at the small girl, tearing at her waist like with scalpel-like teeth, practically biting her in half.
God, gruesome.
It is believed that the creature feasted on the girl before anyone could do anything to help her.
So, like, Congo's a bad place. Like, it's pretty hectic there.
Mm.
But don't they still record murders and things? Or are there just so many that they're like, oh, shit, guess we won't investigate?
No, yeah, they
fish probably got her.
No, they...
So are there records of this? Like,
do the
Congo PD have, like, a file on this girl?
Maybe.
In
the
description it says, like, Mbenga got her.
Maybe. I don't have any details, but I'm assuming someone was there and they saw it happen.
Sounds like it. With all the details about the scalpel-like precision.
Oh, that's just me being flappy.
Oh, okay. That didn't
come directly from the witnesses. Like, they were probably just screaming and crying.
Right. God, okay.
Okay.
So, a recent victim.
Well, recent.
Well, it's just because this is not like a normal sighting where it's like, oh, I was out camping and then I totally saw it and then I came back and I was really freaked out and no one can verify it. This is like someone died. Like if he's making this up, the person who claimed to have seen this, then he just murdered it, right? Like he's either a murderer or an Mbenga witness.
Or it was a crocodile.
Yeah, or it was a crocodile.
Yeah. And they would know what a crocodile was like, most definitely.
Well, they didn't even know that the fucking Mbenga like shiny things. Maybe they don't know. I don't know. Anyway, all right, sorry.
They're very different things. Knowing what a crocodile looks like and knowing that the Mbenga likes shiny.
Maybe it was just a splash and teeth and blood. And it was... Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
Let's carry on. That's sighting one.
That's sighting.
Did someone die in every sighting?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's only two.
Brutal. No, okay. 100% of sightings have resulted in death. Okay.
So it is believed that the creature feasts upon the many fish within the freshwater. So that seems out of place. Fishermen often report having their live bait catches sliced in two by something monstrous and unseen. I said that before.
You did.
My mistake.
That'd be kind of creepy. Like pulling a fish in and you pull it out of the water and it's just a fish head and it's like all missing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Could be crocodiles. Oop.
Nah, deep water. They don't go deep water. No? Crocodiles. And they don't like white water either. Crocodiles, they like still water.
Okay.
True story. So, a man by the name of Jean-Pierre Mombele, excuse me if I fucked that up.
Sorry, Jean-Pierre.
Tells of his own story of the Mbenga attack on his father. So, while fishing on his own one day, on his own, in a wooden canoe, his father was slowly bringing in his fishing nets. Okay. It was a quiet afternoon and there were no other boats around. The man slowly brought in his nets, hand nets, one by one, as he'd done heaps of times before. The sound of the nets swashing around in the like water surface as he brought them in called in the Mbenga. Dramatic flair.
Dun, dun, dun. All right.
Inspecting the fisherman from underneath the water, it watched and waited for its opportunity. Then the creature leapt clean out of the water, went for the man's throat.
Oh, God.
Slicing it up with his teeth. Its teeth.
Maybe.
Then it fell silent. Being really dramatic in this one.
There's a lot of atmosphere in these sightings.
Thanks.
You should jazz up all the sightings like this.
I will. This is how I get you to believe me.
Scalpel-like precision.
The fisherman's family started to get worried when he basically didn't come home. Sometime later, they searched the area where he was, and they found his boat, but no one inside it. And then nearby, he found his father.
Wait, why did they not find anyone inside?
Because he wasn't in it.
Why was he not in it?
He fell into the water.
Okay. Wasn't there blood everywhere?
Yes.
Ah.
Nearby, his father was found in the water, upside down, with bite marks around his throat, and he had died. All right.
Wait, that's great evidence. There's a carcass. I mean, a body, a corpse, sorry.
Yes.
With, huge teeth marks. In it.
Surely the girl would.
Yeah, true. I kind of imagined it dragging her off. But
no, I think it just took, a yummy chunk. And... Disrespectful. And left.
Okay. So we should know what its teeth look like. We've got teeth marks as the Mbenga.
I guess. I couldn't find
assuming
any.
Anyone. Yeah, okay.
I don't know if that was properly recorded.
When was the second sighting?
I don't know. In the past. Okay, that's it. That's all my sightings.
Okay. We got anything else?
Nope.
No, that's it. That's the Mbenga.
That is the Mbenga.
God, difficult to say. I'm a little... It's a little convincing that these are recent stories that involve something verifiable, namely the death of a person.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, I don't know what to make, because it could just be a crocodile. You don't know what bit his throat.
A crocodile leapt out of the water.
Well, he could have been leaning down into the water. All the leaping you just made up, right?
Yeah, I guess no one was there. Okay.
So... Not sure about that one, unless they were, obviously different marks to a crocodile, but there's no detail like that
in the story.
The first one, someone saw an Mbenga, they say, bite this little girl
I presume so. That was not in anything I could find. But I like, why would this little girl be by herself?
Wait, yeah, was she by herself? Or
I don't know.
It said no, no, really, you did say she was by herself.
I said I don't. She entered the water by herself for sure, but I don't know if there was parents or friends.
Oh, this is pretty sketchy, Mika. You gotta admit, this is like as cryptids go, this is not like dense with evidence.
Right, so where are you on the fence on this one?
I don't know. Like at the same time, there's a lot of undiscovered animals in like Africa and in like the Amazon and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's not a crazy animal. It could exist. It's just like a big fish with sharp teeth, right? Like why not? it wouldn't be an evolutionary anomaly like a plesiosaur or like a Neanderthal that didn't go extinct or something.
Yeah, Three 180 opening jaw.
Did other fish do that?
I don't know.
Maybe I don't know any of that.
Snakes.
Where it is?
Snakes can do that.
Snakes can do that. Yeah. Why not fish? This is a really amateur discussion. I'm going to remain skeptical because the evidence has not convinced me not to be.
Okay. All right. Shall we go into proposed explanations?
Yes, let's.
All right. Wait, I fucked up. Okay. What if I told you that this is our April Fool's episode? And I tell you that everything I've said today is true and verifiable and is actually a proven verified animal.
I have no trouble believing that.
You say, fuck you, Megan. that the deaths are proven to be by this animal.
Okay.
And that this is actually a river monster caught by Jeremy Wade.
Fuck you. Well, that's what I said. I said it involved deaths. Like, that's pretty plausible if we can confirm the story.
April Fools!
You got me. You done it.
This is the Goliath tigerfish. This fella.
That's the one I was... You... Oh, my God. All right, listeners won't know this, but when we were not recording and I was eating Doritos, I was like... Oh, that's actually pretty plausible that a fish could be this size. Remember that episode of River Monsters where there was the Goliath fish? That's about that size, right?
You did not name the fish. And
I meant the Goliath fish. You knew what I meant.
You literally said that fish that was on the River Monsters. And I was like, what, all 9 seasons?
Okay.
Seriously, dudes, go to our Facebook and look at the Goliath tigerfish pictures.
I have a great... piece of info about the tigerfish. Tigerfish actually jumps out of the water and eats birds, and there's footage of it eating a bird. It's really crazy.
Really?
Look it up.
Well, that's bird equals throat.
Yeah, true.
It was thought that the guy had a silvery cross around his neck as well, like a pendant.
Asking for it.
Anyway, so here are some mad pictures of the...
Oh, the tigerfish is so cool. I don't even mind being tricked. This is... Tigerfish is excellent.
Yep, so he's... It's just no. Everything I said was like about it. Yeah. All of the folklore, totally legit. Those fucking teeth.
Oh, so this whole episode is like a large version of the bit we did at the start.
Yeah.
The segment on like.
Yeah.
Tigerfish is so cool.
And then so facts that I just wanted to go through things that I mentioned. Just stop looking ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you fucked it now. So, I want to go through facts that I mentioned and prove that I'm not lying.
Okay.
Because we say things sometimes, like with actual cryptids, we say, oh, and it sounds so fantastical that their mouth can open 180 degrees, or that they this, or that they that, and you're like, oh, that sounds like bullshit, because no animals do that.
Although, the record will show I said that seems perfectly plausible. I did not say that.
I'll edit it out. No, I won't. Okay, so the Goliath tigerfish can open its mouth to nearly 180 degrees. It's got a double hinge in its jaw.
Oh, crazy. Oh, it looks so ugly when it does that. It's like it's got a little pouch in its face. All right, God. Ugh.
Blood red tail. So, yeah, it doesn't have a single hinge in its jaw. It has a double hinge, which allows it to, like, just... Exactly. The fish has strong connections to the spirit world with the Congolese people. So everything about... They believe that evil spirits possess the fish and make it
tangible. Oh, we already knew that was true. I didn't doubt them.
I just
want to
make
folklore.
Sure. I just want to make sure that you didn't think I was just adding shit. This is all fact.
Although, also, I totally still think it's bullshit that it actually has a connection to the spirit world. But I don't doubt they say it does,
okay.
Right?
All right, fine.
Also, there is no spirit world. Hey, yeah,
that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, that's a whole nother kettle of fish.
So, in River Monsters Season 2, Episode 1, there's an episode called Demon Fish, where Jeremy actually catches it.
You made me watch this in high school.
Yes.
I remember it.
It's
was pretty cool, actually.
That's amazing. I got a lot of my facts from that episode. I was researching.
Very nice.
In the episode, Jeremy is fishing for days and days and days and days with no success. So just this is connecting to the spirit world thing. Put some evidence behind it.
You're proving that there is a spirit world and that the fish is connected to it?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Correct.
Okay.
So Jeremy is fishing for 7 days straight, 11 hours a day. He has 3 takes, but he doesn't land any of those fish. They're all
but
tiny.
Then.
But then, drama. It went. Okay. I need to nail this.
A bit of Miller moment. Miller. All right.
It is only after he consults the local witch doctor and has a good luck ceremony performed on him that he lands the fish the very next day. And
wow.
That was that huge fish.
It must be true.
Exactly. The witch doctor consults the spirit of the dead fisherman, of a dead fisherman, who tells him exactly where to put his line and exactly where to put his lure. And he goes to the spot and bingo bango, he catches a fish.
Or maybe this is just the spot where they've got fish in the past. And he was like, Jeremy, idiot, you've been fishing in the wrong place. Except then he was like, wait, hang on, I can turn this into a spirit thing and totally get spirit brownie points and look like a good witch doctor.
Spirit brownie points.
It's hard being a witch doctor, because it's all bullshit, right? Like, your predictions are wrong as often as a coin flips, right? It's like half the time they're wrong. So this is like, great, Jupiter tourist.
He got spirit brownie points and cash.
And cash.
From the city.
All right,
okay. So the Mbenga does have superior sight and it can hear, and hearing, and it can sense the vibrations. These are super predators, and just like the piranhas and sharks, and they are attracted to noise and commotion on the water. So they will actually go and investigate.
Okay, I admit, I thought that was bullshit, but apparently
yeah.
It's a thing. Do
they
have ears?
Yeah. Hear me here.
Those are words connected to what we're talking about. Good job.
Hear me here about hearing.
Hear me hearing.
The Goliath tigerfish's sense of hearing is absolutely amazing. They have a small bone that connects its ear to its swim bladder, which acts like an amplifier.
Mm-hmm.
It also has excellent eyesight and the ability to sense low-frequency vibrations emitted by prey.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They punch well above their weight when finding food. The Goliath tigerfish has been seen taking chunks out of crocodiles. Seen. Generally circles the unlucky fish before striking with the brutality of a piranha. The Goliath is known to pounce on a 60-pound catfish and literally slice it in half.
Good God.
Mm-hmm. So the two cases of the attacks I mentioned before, they left basically like telltale teeth marks, like you said.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the fishermen where the body was found in the water,
mm-hmm.
there actually was a Goliath found in the boat, still gasping, which had, like, blood all in its mouth.
Ah, I see.
So it hit his throat, fell in the boat, and he fell in the water. It's pretty obvious what happened here.
Or is it?
Yes, it
is.
No.
Okay.
Yes, it is. So, yeah, they tend to jump a lot, like you said, to dislodge, like, hooks when they get fished.
Right.
So, yeah.
Crazy.
So good.
Ah, well, excellent. Excellent episode. You got me.
Haven't finished.
Oh.
In other rather brilliant news, they have highly astute, uber strong swimming set of. What am I saying? They swim in shoals in huge numbers sometimes. And
oh, God, really?
Attacks on humans
oh,
in this manner have
that
been.
That would be terrifying.
They've been reported in this way, like in pack attacks on humans, but it hasn't been verified.
That would be so scary.
That'd be
a pack of Goliath fish.
So scary.
Oh, my God. They could take a boat down, they would just like tear the planks off. Like,
yeah,
maybe,
if they wanted to.
Or maybe not.
If they were clever enough to realize there's meat on them.
On the boat,
yeah. They live in the rough, crazy waters that is almost uninhabitable. Goliath likes turbulent waters where fish who are less powerful swimmers struggle against the current, rendering them vulnerable to attack, and like they get like pooped out from like trying to fight the current, and they like come into a soft, quiet part and like trying to recover.
Getting a breather.
Yeah.
And then Goliath fish appears.
So Jeremy Wade calls it the most horrific yet perfect killing machine in all the world's rivers, and the ultimate river monster, combining the deadliest features of every one of the river monsters that he has tackled. Tackled. Good pun, Jeremy. Just when I thought you couldn't get any higher in my eyes. Is that a word?
Eyes?
Higher.
What word?
I don't know, man. I'm just really excited. Although these unbelievable beasts are sometimes given a bad rap, they are just another glorious and important creature in our animal kingdom and ecosystem.
What are you talking about? They're fucking cannibals and, like, monsters.
So?
So they deserve a bad rap. They're not, like, one of God's creatures. They're demon fish. That's what Jeremy Wade called them, wasn't it?
No, but it doesn't mean they deserve to die and, like, be eradicated. Just because, like, lions and tigers kill people doesn't mean we should wipe out all lions and tigers.
They're not being eradicated, are they?
Well, yeah.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's my point.
Oh, sorry. All right.
So the Goliath tigerfish puts more energy into killing than breeding. It takes a local population between 5 and 14 years to double in size. So if you do manage to, like, hook one of these awesome creatures, please be sure to put it back into the water where you came from, where it came from. And then put you in the water where you came from.
But a different bed of water so that you stop fishing it. Okay.
As Jeremy says in his closing of the River Monsters episode, which I think is very awesome, he says, I think it is very important that animals we find terrifying in appearance, that we try to understand them, we don't just hack them to pieces and kill them, and then look at their dead body. So don't follow Paddy's advice, leave these creatures alone.
What was my advice?
Kill them!
Oh, they're pretty evil looking though, hey.
Fuck it, you're pretty evil
what
looking.
What about that, Jeremy? Did you consider that? Well, cool.
Yay!
These guys are cool. We'll put the photos up. They are terrifying. I'm right, they need to be killed. But,
What? You're horrible.
Oh, God, April Fools. You got me.
Yay!
You did it.
I'm sorry for not...
Did we, like, run out of cryptid? Is that what happened?
No, there's so many. We had an April Fools episode. Oh, my God. I thought I'd fuck with you.
That's cool. It was pretty interesting. Because, I don't know, I still think I wouldn't change my judgment.
Exactly!
Because, like, without footage of these things, I wouldn't believe in them.
That's all we're missing. That's a missing piece of these cryptids.
Just high definition footage. Yes. That's all we're missing.
That's all that separates a cryptid from a real animal.
Yeah, but the reason we don't have high definition footage of most of the cryptids is because they're made up, right?
No.
Because it's easy to get that footage. You just go out with your iPhone and then you're like, hey, look, there it is. that's the whole point.
No. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, that's it from us.
Thank you for... I hope you didn't get duped as well.
Duped.
Maybe you knew what was going on from the start.
Maybe.
But if you didn't, my sympathies were in the same boat.
April Fools. Alright, so if you have any stories as well before we go of encounters you've seen, anything weird and wild in the real world that you want us to talk about in our mini episodes, we're gonna be kicking those off very soon, in fact. We're gonna be recording one next.
That's right, yeah. So those are the mini episodes that just on stuff we've got from you guys.
Yeah, with some cryptozoology news as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't really know what I'm talking about.
So yeah, you can send those stories to cryptidaddicted@gmail.com. And
right.
You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at cryptid_addicted. That's where photos will be on the Facebook.
That's right. And on Instagram, we're cryptid_addicted. You can also just tell us if you find some cool sources, even if they're not yours, but you find like a really cool GIF or something. Maybe it's something we've talked about. Maybe it's some new cryptid. Always welcome.
Yeah. And you can actually find us on buymeacoffee.com. BUY. Is that?
Oh, yeah. Give us money. Tits, yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. Help us fund our G&T.
Yeah, Thai food just got more expensive.
That would be really nice.
I need cash.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So that's buymeacoffee.com. And just search Cryptid Addicted.
We didn't have any gin this time. Funds are running low, people.
We had to have water.
Yes, really. Sad.
Help us. Donate to the poor.
All right.
All right, that's it.
Bye. Yeah.